Powerball lottery fever. There is no resisting it. Have you caught the fever? What is it people are actually buying? Maybe I'm missing the whole point. Maybe they know in their heart of hearts they're not going to win. But you know what? The buzz from thinking that technically they could win is like cocaine. Gives them a buzz. Speaking of stimulants, sugar. Yeah, sugar. And I don't mean the song. Sugar. We all know the song. No, I'm talking about the food. Sugar. Remember all those times I asked Pam Colleen when she was on the show? Give me the worst crisis in our healthcare and the reason for it in one word. And she would always say sugar. Very interesting to see Dr. Chris Mackey at our Middlesex London Health Unit is launching a crusade against sugar. Sugary drinks in particular. Because they kill you. They're poison. And yet I see people around me drinking this stuff. Every can is poison. Every can. Pam Colleen has been on this crusade for years. Dr. Mackey says we ought to tax these sugary drinks to get rid of them, or at least slow people down from drinking them. Dr. Mackey will join us in our next half hour, and so will Pam Colleen. In just a moment, something else that really ruins your life. Just look around at the size of the people walking down the sidewalk in London and Detroit and New York. We have an obesity epidemic. Finally, we've got it into our heads that fat is not causing it. Eating fat is not causing you to be fat. It is sugar, which is giving us heart disease and diabetes and so many other health issues. Bravo to our medical officer of health at the Middlesex London Health Unit, Dr. Chris Mackey. He's launching a crusade against sugary drinks. He will join us in just a moment. Believe me, it's not him singing that song. We'll be back with Dr. Mackey in just a moment right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJVK. Wow, I didn't expect this. Even before we have Dr. Mackey on, we're getting flack for taking this strong position against sugar. Why would you possibly argue against cutting down on our intake of sugar? Here's a text message. We haven't even gotten into the story. I just mentioned we were going to be doing the story. Here's the first text message. And Dr. Chris Mackey will be joining us here in just a moment. Andy, perhaps Dr. Mackey should go live in a dictatorship if he feels that we, the consumer, should be told what we can or cannot drink. Last I checked, this is a free market where I have the freedom to choose sugar or not. Cigarettes are one of the most dangerous products on the market and are heavily taxed, yet people continue to smoke. Sugar also is an addiction, but Dr. Mackey needs to respect the fact that we don't need him to make our choices. Instead, if he feels so strongly, then he should take on the manufacturers. And yes, buying tickets now, it's just for fun. You're overthinking this one. Who cares? Let people dream. Who made you the moral authority? Andy, Ray the trucker here. Is this the same doctor that thinks fluoride is good in our water? Okay. Let me ask you what your thoughts are on the front page story this morning in the Free Press. Delighted, absolutely delighted to see it. We've had Pam Colleen on the air for years, pounding away on this issue of sugar. Refined sugar. Let me share just a portion of the article in the Free Press if you didn't see it. Great picture on the front, by the way, of Dr. Mackey holding a very sugary drink and squeezing it, and it runs over his fingers, and it's just an icky, gooey, sugary mess. We have an epidemic of obesity. We have an epidemic of diabetes. We have an epidemic of just about every health concern you can imagine. And Pam Colleen is just one of many, many, many people who will tell you that the number one issue on this front is sugar. Jonathan Scher writes in today's Free Press, Canada can make a dent in its obesity epidemic if it follows Mexico's lead and slaps a tax on sugar-sweetened drinks like pop, the London region's leading public health official says. Quote, it definitely should be considered, and the fact that it hasn't been seriously considered in Canada is troubling, says Dr. Mackey. Quote, I have to wonder about the sugar industry's impact here. So after we talk to Dr. Mackey, we'll be opening up the phone lines and getting your thoughts. I say bravo, bravo, 100 times bravo. Health officials standing up for your good health. I can do nothing but applaud. And by the way, again, that great picture, that sugary, ooey, gooey mess. Just a personal note, I am seeing people around me, I won't be specific, destroying their lives with sugar. Destroying their lives with sugar. In my extended family, I have seen a young mother destroy her health with her addiction to these sugary drinks. So I say openly, these sugary drinks are poison. And why we as a society aren't taking a stronger stand on it, it's because we don't have leaders who have the guts and the kahunas to do it. Now, finally, we're seeing Dr. Mackey is stepping forward. And Dr. Mackey joins us now. Doctor, appreciate you joining us.
Pleasure.
Want to warn you, Doctor, there are those who don't want to hear what you're saying. Let me just share the first text message we had. Perhaps Dr. Mackey should go live in a dictatorship if he feels we, the consumer, should be told what we can or cannot drink. We'll get to all that in just a moment. Dr. Mackey, let me ask you, what inspired you to take this strong stand?
You know, we have a very serious issue in the form of obesity in our community. It's well over 50%, range of 60% adults, even, you know, 20 to 30% of kids in our region. And the health effects of that down the line mean more heart disease, more stroke, more cancer. And, you know, these are the major diseases that are driving death and illness in our community right now. And they're all related in part to overconsumption of calories. Inspired by what's happening in Mexico. Mexico is not a communist country. It's not a dictatorship. It's actually a very strongly capitalist country, one of the richest men in the world as a Mexican man. But Mexico is going in this direction because they can see the link from sugary beverages to the obesity epidemic that they're experiencing there as well.
Another text message. Andy, I agree with the free market argument, but with everyone paying for health care in Canada, it doesn't apply. Obesity is expensive. Let me just ask you, Dr. Mackey, if I could, to describe how serious the health issue is related to sugar. First of all, from a health point of view, but also, if people don't agree with that argument, from a cost point of view, which entitles every one of us as taxpayers to have an opinion and to be very concerned. So first, the health issue. How serious are the health issues related to the overconsumption of sugar?
Andy, you know, there's not many things that are as important in terms of drivers of health. This is right on par with tobacco. Right now, tobacco use and obesity are vying for number one position in terms of cause of death in Canada, in Ontario, and in London. It, part of what you're seeing is a major move towards sugary food since the low fat diet has been recommended. In the 80s and 90s, we saw low fat diets being recommended around the world, including by the American Heart Association, by Canada Food Guide. And what that means is that manufacturers will substitute fat with something else, whether it's sugar or salt. And so we've seen massive increases in the amount of sugar consumed. The other thing is, of course, the high fructose corn syrup, which just makes it so much easier to put, you know, sugar and fructose, which is a form of sugar, into our food. And those have really made it easy to have calorie-rich foods everywhere that you look.
Dr. Mackey, this is very personal for all of us because all of us right now, and I guarantee you all of our listeners right now are thinking of someone in particular with respect to this issue. I had a friend named Leonard, and I remember the last time he was at our house, he was very tall, but he was also tall the other way. In other words, he was wide. And he, on a hot summer day, would stop and pick up and drink, one after the other, cans of sugary drinks. One after the other. And I mean six at a time. I said, Leonard, look me in the eye. This is going to kill you. And he said, as long as I die happy. He had a cavalier attitude. I have people right now, and as I mentioned, in my extended family, who are drinking these sugary drinks one after the other. I've seen the garbage cans in their garage overflowing with these cans. How do we reach these people? They're not stupid people. They know what the facts are, but they're doing it anyways. It's almost like an alcoholic who can't put down his drink.
It's very concerning, Andy. And, you know, since you talking about personal stories, since we started really talking about this, I've had several people come forward and say, you know, this would really help me with my battle to try and reduce the consumption of sugary drinks. I'm not a huge proponent of taxation. It has to be used sometimes when you have products like tobacco or sugar where the health harms of, you know, refined sugar far outweigh the health benefits. But it also sends a message to our community about what is healthy and what is not. It helps people to really bring that concept into their culture. And we haven't sent the signal in any meaningful way that sugar and refined sugar and sugary drinks are a big risk to health, which, you know, there's lots of evidence that they are.
Dr. Mackey, the president of the London Transit Union, the driver's union, told me in an interview a few years ago that the average weight of a bus driver, a transit worker in the U.S. is 350 pounds. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. But we all know how serious the obesity epidemic is. We all look at the Americans, but we're not too far behind. You mentioned heart disease. You mentioned stroke. You mentioned cancer. Which one is at the top of the list?
Well, I mean, so cancer and heart disease are the leading causes of death in our area. I mean, there's really an interesting shift in thinking around these sorts of issues. When, you know, in the past we would have listed the causes of death about the disease side of things, we're now recognizing that many of these diseases are caused by the same underlying, what we call determinants of health. And so, you know, the kind of food that you consume, particularly high calorie and sugary foods, being one driver of this epidemic of obesity, which leads to the heart and cancer and sort of diseases. And then, you know, sedentary behavior. So you're talking about bus drivers whose job it is to sit in one place all day. But many of us have jobs like that now where we don't get up enough during the day to keep our bodies healthy. And that is an underlying determinant driver of all those end diseases.
Just a couple more questions before we let you go. For those who push back on this issue and say, Dr. Mackey, just give us the information, but don't be doing the, you know, the hard-nosed, high-handed things like putting taxes on these drinks. Let me just ask you to address the issue of our right as a society who are paying the bills for health care related to all these epidemics. What right we have to be a little more aggressive when it comes to encouraging people to lay off the sugar?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to be thinking about those things. And we do have to respect people's rights. That's why we're not talking about a ban of sugary substances. That's why we're not, you know, talking about making it illegal or restricting the sorts of places where you can drink these things. We're talking about a taxation measure, which changes the price, and price is a driver of decisions. So it's really about creating an environment that's going to be healthier for people. I mean, people recognize the link with obesity, but sugar is also a very powerful oxidant. You know about antioxidants and how helpful they are for health. Well, sugar is an oxidant. When it's in your blood, it's actually damaging the tissues that it's going to. Yes, we need some sugar to, keep our bodies healthy, but if you have too much of it in your blood, it is damaging your tissues. It's being stored in the body as fat. So people say, oh, low fat. Well, that's not going to help you because sugar just transforms in your body into fat when you don't burn it right away. So the physiological link between sugar and poor health is very strong.
Final question. What happens if we do nothing? What happens if we don't have more people taking a strong stand like you are? What happens if we continue to have the kind of consumption and ingestion of sugary drinks and other sugary products, processed foods that we're consuming now?
Well, I really hope we are able to wrestle with this problem and wrestle it to the ground. But, there are predictions that if we continue on in the direction that we're going, at the rate that we're going in terms of increasing rates of obesity, we will have a generation of children that's being raised now that won't live as long as their parents. And this is a very scary and upsetting thing. It's never happened in the history of health that we've been able to measure. For hundreds of years, we've always seen life expectancy increase every generation, but it won't with this generation if the current trends continue.
Dr. Mackey, thank you so much for joining us, and bravo for what you're doing. And if anybody thinks you're pushing too hard, just tell them you ain't seen nothing yet. We're all going to push harder because we don't want our friends, our cousins, our neighbors, our relatives, our sisters and brothers to die or to even to suffer from all of these horrible diseases. And we need to do our part. And you're doing yours, and we thank you for it.
Thanks a lot for your support, Andy. Okay.
Dr. Chris Mackey, what do you think? 643-1290. Or you can text us at 10-1290. Here are some early text messages. Like everything, moderation is key. In Europe, you don't see giant bottles of pop, usually only 250 milliliter bottles. Andy, our bodies are like cars. We are meant to consume for survival or operate. Moderation is okay, but you would not put diesel in a gas engine or it'll cause problems. So when we consume products that are bad for us on a regular basis in our bodies, we'll have problems. I've been there, overweight most of my life, and always felt terrible physically and mentally, turned it around, and haven't felt better with a healthy lifestyle now at age 52. Tony, your thoughts?
Yes. Hi, Andy. I've been listening to this with great interest because I agree about sugar, and I'm very glad that Dr. Mackey's on the ball here.
It sounds like this is a personal issue for you, Tony.
No, it's not. But I have been reading a lot lately about gluten-free diets and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to give you a little quote from William Davis of the Wheat Belly,
yes.
Book, and also Dr. Perlmutter, who is another one on the same page.
Let's go with Bill Davis first, and we're not talking the former premier. We're talking the author of Wheat right. Belly. Go for it.
Yeah. On the back of his book, Wheat Belly, there is this quote, "Did you know that eating two slices of whole wheat bread can increase blood sugar more than 2 tablespoons of pure sugar?"
Ouch.
And that, I think, is one of the things that has to be thought about.
Okay, and what was the other quote?
Well, Dr. Perlmutter does the same thing. In fact, he quotes Dr. Davis.
Okay, terrific. Listen, I appreciate the call, Tony. We're going to take a short break when we come back. More of your thoughts, more of your text messages, and Pam Colleen with her thoughts on what Dr. Chris Mackey is doing. Will it work? Back with that in just a moment right here on the Live Drive with Andy Edmond on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 351, we're talking about sugar. We're talking about cancer. We're talking about heart disease, obesity, and all the health problems related to the consumption of something that so many of us are addicted to. Sugar. Honey, honey. Oh, yes, love the song, love the product. Dr. Chris Mackey suggesting that we start putting a tax on sugary drinks, taking as the lead what they're doing in Mexico. Joining us now, author and nutritional consultant Pam Killeen, written, known very, very well to Londoners, and she joins us. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing today?
Good. Let me ask you, you have not always been applauding the actions and inactions of our health unit. What is your response today to this from Chris Mackey?
It's a step in the right direction that they're going to try and use tax as a deterrent to reduce our consumption of sugar. So for that, you know, kudos to the health unit for doing that. It's just a small step in the right direction, but it is a step in the right direction. I would like to see more being done, of course, where tobacco was concerned. You know, they didn't just increase taxes. They also put warning labels on cigarettes. And so that would be yet an extra thing that could be done in order to try and create more awareness around the hazards of consuming sugar. So if we go back to 2003, Andy, and we look at a report published by the World Health Organization, back in 2003, they declared that processed foods were basically causing cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and that many conditions that are associated with obesity. So they, you know, basically stuck their neck out to blame sugar as part of our health crisis. And you know what happened back in 2003 when they published that report? First of all, the media hardly picked up on that report, yet it was an extremely important piece of work. But what happened was the sugar industry actually threatened the U.S. government and said that they would cut their funding if they didn't threaten the World Health Organization and get them to withdraw this particular report. And so you can see the shenanigans that go on politically behind the scenes when anybody speaks out against sugar or tries to reduce our consumption of sugar. You've already gotten lots of angry emails and texts today, Andy, so you get to see people just do not want to see this happen necessarily. So Chris Mackey is going to be up against quite a machine to try and come up against the sugar industry. They're very powerful, and they just do not want to see us reducing our consumption of their product.
Well, you have talked before about the power of the sugar lobby, but it's hard for us to understand. I mean, you see Obama speaking to Congress last night, and probably the last thing that crosses your mind is how these politicians, with all their noble words and rhetoric, are influenced by lobbyists. But in terms of sheer power, the sugar lobby is way up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're using cigarette science, I mean, in order to keep their product out there on the marketplace as it is. And even according to the British Medical Journal, I use this quote quite often. They published this in 2006, so this quote is 10 years old. And right in the British Medical Journal, they say sugar is as dangerous as tobacco, and in terms of world health, far more important. Sugar is an enormous burden throughout life. It destroys children's teeth, it leads to obesity, and it exacerbates diabetes, a disease that eventually destroys every organ. Sugar should be classified as a hard drug, for it is addictive and harmful. There will be a considerable cost attached to the cessation of sugar consumption, but this will be negligible in comparison with the cost of the disease burden attributable to sugar. So even according to the British Medical Journal, we should have been recognizing the damaging effects of sugar many, many, many years ago.
Okay, but people are saying, Pam, I can't even drop the sugar in my coffee. What do you suggest? How do I cut back? I'm addicted to sugar.
Yeah, look at what happens when you take candy away from a baby. Look at the baby's response. I mean, people rely on sugar as their stimulant, right? And when I work with biochemistry. So when I'm working with people who have addictive cravings of any kind, I know it's a problem with their biochemistry, namely the root cause being, of course, weak adrenal glands. And so people who have weak adrenal glands will rely on a stimulant in order to get through the day. That stimulant can be caffeine, it can be sugar, it can be both. But what really fundamentally we're going to have to deal with is fixing people's adrenal glands. And that is a very difficult thing to do because the adrenals, for the most part, across the board are so weak among all of us today that people really need their caffeine and sugar to get through the day or they can't cope. So when they turn to a stimulant in order to have even fake energy, this is kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul. What they end up doing is they keep weakening and weakening and weakening their adrenal glands. Okay. So this is why they can't quit the habit, so to speak. And this is why the sugar industry is going to keep getting away with selling their products, is because people are just fundamentally so weak today that they are relying on sugar for this, quote-unquote, what I like to call fake energy.
Okay, we only have a couple of moments left, but Aaron wants to jump in with a quick comment. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi, how are you doing today, Andy?
Go for it.
You know, when George W. Bush Jr. Was the president, he moved daylight savings time to after November at the request of the sugar lobby. That way all the children could have an extra hour of daylight for trick-or-treating. Now, that's how powerful the sugar lobby is.
Very interesting point. Pam, we have just a couple of moments left. For people who are a little overwhelmed, saying, Pam, I'm just so addicted to sugar, where do they start, Pam?
One of the antidotes to sugar addiction, by the way, is to increase your consumption of animal fat. Animal fat, get plenty of animal fat at breakfast, plenty of animal fat in your diet at lunch and dinner, and that can help curb sugar cravings. And another antidote to sugar, of course, is salt, because sugar is a stimulant, salt is a relaxant. So if you can get salt in your meals as well, that can help relax the adrenal glands and might help reduce some of your sugar cravings. But that is very simple. It's a very simple approach to use. It's something versus nothing. Increasing animal fat is very, very important.
And what do we say to people around us who we see literally killing themselves by drinking these sugary drinks, cans and cans of them?
It's really hard to quit any kind of stimulant in one's life. I can only say to people to do the best they can, because intellectually we do know how damaging sugar is. I mean, Andy, in the last couple of years, there's been, I'm counting, at least 8 documentaries produced that are showing the damaging effects of sugar. So we see even in the media, Andy, an admission that sugar is destroying us. So I think intellectually a lot of people do know that sugar is very hard on their health, but the trick is how do they get off the sugar? And that can be very, very difficult to do.
I think you heard at least part of what Dr. Mackey had to say. Is this a historic day, Pam? You and Dr. Mackey on the same page? In fact, did I even hear him promoting animal fats there at one point?
Yeah, I think he almost hinted at the fact that he knows animal fat is actually good for us, because when he was talking about the low-fat diet, increasing our consumption of sugar or carbohydrates, of course, he must be starting to realize that the low-fat diet is indeed a big part of the reason why we're so sick today. So I hope to see changes within Health Canada vis-a-vis the food guide, because really it's the low-fat diet that's just gotten us into a huge mess in terms of our health.
Oh boy, here's somebody with a little sarcastic shot. Andy, we need more sugar and fluoride. Very, very interesting. But
well,
for the moment...
It's interesting, because fluoride interferes with our body's ability to use calcium. So by default, you know, fluoride is going to cause more cavities. It's just going to interfere with our body's ability to use calcium so that it will form weaker teeth and bones in general, right?
Okay, Pam, just before we let you go...
Nonsensical practice.
Pam, just before we let you go, you've got a busy schedule ahead that people want to know about.
Right. So this coming Saturday at Cherry Hill Mall at the London Public Library, for the next 4 Saturdays, I'm going to be teaching my nutrition boot camp, if you will. It's based on the work of Dr. Weston A. Price, and it talks about the importance of going back to eating our traditional foods. So I have more information on my website, which is just www.pamkilleen.com.
Keep up the good work and the passion trying to get people healthy. And are you still saying people have never been sicker, fatter, and more depressed? Is that still true?
It's still very, very true, Andy. And we can do something to change this situation. We can learn more about healthy eating. And healthy eating is very, very simple to do. What we have to do is get rid of the misinformation.
Okay, terrific. Pam, thanks so much. Okay, CTV News update straight ahead right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK.